Bienvenidos hermanas y hermanos. My name is Juan López.
And my name is Rogelio Robles.
You kind of hesitated there a little bit.
No, I didn't.
Okay. But this is Spanglish Seminary.
This is a podcast centered in La Experiencia Latina in the Church, sobre the space between Spanish y Inglés, Catholics y Aleluyas, Latin America y el Norte.
Yes, and this is our study hall episode. So we just got together with a few friends, with Arash, Serene, and Walter. Serene was kind of on the like next to us. She was doing homework
on
the sideline, and she came in towards the end. So we, she's a philosophy major, and you know, the three of us guys were just sitting around a table talking about theology, and we're talking about theology, philosophy, the 1900s and today, and how technology tends to define humanity. And she kind of comes in towards the end and helps us out, helps us finish everything. So it was a really interesting conversation with friends, just sat around the table and hit record, honestly.
Yeah.
So hopefully y'all enjoy it, and send us some questions. Feel free to send us some questions. If you have the Anchor app, we're on Anchor and Apple Podcasts. If you have the Anchor app, you can actually send us a voice message through the app that we can then incorporate to, you know, a podcast episode. So if you feel you want to say something, contribute to a conversation, we can definitely add it.
And you guys can actually send this message through Instagram and Facebook. You can find this at Spanglish Seminary. And then also Twitter.
Spanglish _SEM. Yeah. So SEM. And that's it. So hopefully you enjoy. That's it. Well, I was going to bring up the Mexico, but it's going to like add to the not the time, but it's gonna date the
Mexico podcast. Beat Germany.
So we're excited, definitely, because Mexico beat Germany. So we'll see how it goes. Maybe you'll hear in another podcast episode how sad we are if they lost.
No,
I'm not gonna jinx it, but gracias a todos, and thank you for listening. We really appreciate it, for all the shares, for the likes, and just for taking the time to listen. We know that you have a lot of options.
And have a busy life.
Yeah, and you have a busy life. And so for y'all that are listening, if you're listening in your car, if you're listening at home, we definitely appreciate it. We can see how many of y'all are listening, and feel free to interact. You know, this is a community podcast, and, you know, we'll have you on, y'all on. And if you send us messages, we'll definitely add them to the next episode, and we can discuss it. So let us know. Enjoy the episode. Okay, so we'll start with introductions, right? So say who you are and what you're studying, or if you're studying, or where you work. I'm terrible. I need to work on my questions.
My name is Arash. Just recently graduated from UCLA, and looking to plan medical school. So just currently looking for shadowing and figuring things out.
Okay. Arash, thank you. Mm-hmm.
My name is Serene. I graduated from Pepperdine with a philosophy degree, and now I'm pursuing my master's in environmental policy.
Environmental policy.
Nice. My name is Walter, and I work in the flooring business.
In the flooring business. But you're also a lay theologian, so
yes, that's awesome.
I think I said it one time on the podcast where we were like, if it was like a super, like, what's it called? Consumeristic church, and then you wanted to do I think for Sunday, you're like, Sunday.
Oh, man.
Holy Communion brought to you by Wonder Bread and Welch's Grape Juice. I don't know.
Jeez.
It was just...
I mean, wasn't Welch pastor?
He, I think so, yeah. Was. I think I told you that, right? That it was... he was a Methodist pastor. And the Methodists invented fermentation. So that's another thing that... Because... So, like, what do you do, right? I'm recording already, but we won't.
Yeah.
This isn't going to be the podcast.
You know what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, what do you do, right? So, if you're having communion every Sunday, and you're serving wine and bread, and there's people, like, entire communities of people dying because they're alcoholics, or they're spending all their money on alcohol.
Right.
And you're serving alcohol on Sundays, right? What do you do when it's affecting a community in that way? So they thought about it, and they've invented a process to take out the alcohol from grape juice or from wine, and invented basically grape juice.
Which apparently wasn't possible before. Like anytime you made grape juice, it was like fermentation. Yeah. It's so sugary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's hilarious to me. Right? I never thought of that.
And so, and so that's why we have, you know, or even like with people during the plague, like with, so people would drink from the same cup, right? And so one of the things that they changed was that they would get the bread, everybody would get the piece of bread and dip the bread in. So it's like, it's called intinction. So you dip the bread and so you, then you eat it. So then that you don't, you're not, you know, dying or whatever. People were, thought they were dying. Because the wine kills the germs and the if it's gold or silver chalice, it doesn't, you know, you can't pass germs that way or whatever because it kills it. Like, you would know more. I don't know.
I don't think it does.
It doesn't? That's what I've heard.
I don't assume that a low alcoholic.
No, well, like, okay, so like an actual, like, high alcoholic wine.
High alcoholic wine.
Well, I mean, or just, I mean, I don't even know if it would just.
I don't think the percentage, well, maybe that's just a very contextual perspective.
Like in the 1800s, right? When they made wine in the 1800s, 1700s, or during the yeah. What was it? The plague? I forgot what it was called. Was it the Black
Plague?
The
Dark Ages?
Was it the Dark
Ages? The bubonic
plague?
Dark
Age, yeah. So there was a plague that killed like half of England or whatever, half of the Eastern world, and that kind of changed.
The first attempt at urban life, yeah.
Yeah. And so if that happens, and you know, I don't know, but that's what I read. I don't know if it's true or not. So can you test it? Can y'all test it out? I want to find out.
Sorry.
So, well,
like, does
germs, so like if people are drinking from the same cup, wine from the same gold cup,
right?
Can you transfer germs that way?
Definitely.
Okay. Even though the wine.
And I don't think gold is like antiseptic
or,
to some degree. Like,
is there like something, or silver, or is anything like that antiseptic?
I've heard of, you know, these, there are certain like coatings they do,
yeah.
Either it's the metal or the coating that like people push on doors. That they try to keep that antiseptic. It doesn't like allow for growth of bacteria. But I mean, what does that even mean? You know what I mean? Like bacteria can grow on anything. If you get some skin and sugar on there, like it'll grow and like it's not gonna be there for, it's not like you're putting bacteria on there waiting like 3 days. Someone else is gonna grab that door in a minute. Like I'm sure it can get transferred
no,
over.
No, but we're talking about within a church.
Yeah,
community.
Within a church like ten.
So within a church
a second
having,
or two,
and,
like
and you're sharing the same
stuff. I'm sure. Like,
but you know what? They prayed over it, right? they were all right.
They were
anymore.
Right. So
yeah.
Now you're gonna get me going
yeah.
in another. That opens a whole nother door.
I like the sermon he sent me. It's just like because it was a little, what he said about like Christians and non-Christians being like, the same. Like your experience is the same whether you're Christian or not. You're gonna have the same amount of suffering. It's just
yeah.
how you suffer that's different.
It's
I was
how
like,
you
damn.
Suffer.
Because like a lot of people come to God and say like, oh, now that I'm Christian, I'm just gonna get everything I asked for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was.
You know what I mean?
Great.
Like, I'm just gonna pray and I'm gonna get it, so I won't be suffering as like I was before. But it's not that.
Yeah.
It's just you're gonna suffer differently.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that the Spirit gives you, right? The Spirit empowers you to suffer and suffer like Christ.
That's insane.
It's totally different than what I first heard. Okay.
It is
good stuff. No, because we could definitely talk for, it could go anywhere. Like I could keep going on that. We can keep talking about. We can do a whole podcast episode about
Kellogg's.
And I'll be totally fine. No,
don't
bring Kellogg's.
Do you know what?
I've heard some of it. Yeah, but
what?
So the 1900s was
it's
a
crazy
time, bro. The 1900s was a strange
Kellogg's
time.
Exists because two brothers went into business trying to heal people. By reducing their sugar intake and heal people of sexual urges.
Yes.
So they wanted to remove their sugar consumption. And to do so, they wanted to give them a bland breakfast. So they made cornflakes and then they were starting to send it to people and all this
and
stuff.
Now we have Frosted Flakes.
Yeah. One of the brothers was like, we can make money off this if you put sugar on it.
Yeah.
That brother took over. The other guy didn't get the money.
It didn't work out, but
yeah.
It's just strange.
The guy was trying to heal them with lack
started.
Of taste and food. Didn't work
sexual
out.
Sexual urgencies?
Sexual urges, yeah. So.
All right, we're going to have to look this up now, okay? This is A1 content right here.
Like,
this is art.
Christianity has brought about some weird things.
Oh,
and led
true.
Some. Yeah, it's just.
Alright,
I mean
see.
that is I guess a scientific experiment in itself. Like, can we heal people of sexual urges by reducing their sugar intake? And but they also, I think, did like mutilation stuff, but I don't know about that. They just had like a little office.
So you, like I'm like gonna Google how did Kellogg's begin, but I was
good.
I almost messed up, and I was like, can Kellogg's heal sexual marriages? Which was
that'd be just great.
A slip. Like, the FBI agent.
That would
like,
literally.
Bro, you good? My NSA assigned, pre-assigned NSA agent's gonna be like.
He's like, wait, whoa, whoa.
Hey, you good?
Yeah, this is what not like him. Last week.
Oh my god.
Jeez.
All right. So how would I look for it? So how did Kellogg's begin? Right.
Yeah. Origin of Kellogg's Frosted Flakes.
How did Kellogg start? Of course, someone else has Googled it. Okay, so they were Seventh-day Adventists. So mm-hmm. Kellogg's was founded as the Battle Creek Toasted Cornflake Company on February 19, 1906, by Will Keith Kellogg as an outgrowth of his work with his brother John Harvey Kellogg at the Battle Creek Sanitarium, following practices based on the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
He ripped off his brother.
There's
against our ideology completely.
Yeah, terrible. Let me see. Sanitarium decided to try mass market new food at his new company. Yeah, so that caused the rift, right? The sugar. One brother
like
wanted
to put
sugar. He
wanted to make money. The other one wanted to heal people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
And now we have Frosted Flakes, and they're great, apparently. Yeah.
There you go. Product placement.
product placement. We're fed all these jingles, you know.
But seriously, the 1900s, so, I mean, it was the start of a lot of movements, right? It was the start of the Pentecostal movement. It was around when the Mormon church began. It was when the
really I thought Mormon
the,
church was older than that.
No, it was 1900s.
Wow,
it's
real,
a new
yeah,
movements. Yeah, the
new.
Pentecostalism, Mormonism, I'm trying to remember, Seventh-day Adventists, I think, and well, obviously 1900s, right? And then Saturdays, they knock on doors. No, not
no,
Republicans. That's a little later. Maybe after World War II. I don't know. But
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses, right?
Yeah.
So you had...
They're new too?
Yeah.
1900s.
Wow.
Well,
yeah.
New, yeah.
Was it 1902 or something?
1902, yeah. So it's the 1900s, right? There was a lot of fear. It was the Industrial Revolution. A lot of fear. People dying. Things changing. People coming to America. And so you try to find ways to explain what the meaning of life
happening, yeah.
And what's happening. So, I mean, it's honestly, it's no different than now.
Yeah.
Like, it's no, with,
I mean, yeah.
With social media, like for us, right, we've got what's coming our way is, you know, virtual reality, social media, self-driven cars.
Right.
I mean, what else? Like you can go on forever, right? So, you can get me going on like a rant on Amazon and like Elon Musk and like all that stuff, right? Like, so the thing, one of the things that stands out for me, like in regards to Amazon, right? It's super convenient. You can get stuff in 2 days, but like you treat people at the warehouses like robots, right? Like they
yeah.
track their movements.
In industrialization of the human.
Of the
yeah.
human. And so now you're getting into the theological concept of can you treat humans like machines, like should you, is it right? Or it's like
yes.
Like nobody yes right well right
the owner
so
of Amazon
let's start a company
yes
yes, yes right
that
or,
was easy hit the hit
yeah
the, that
and
was easy
you just
button.
Do it
Staples.
Right easy button and you
more
just,
product placement
I'm
yes.
just gonna put something on people's wrists and track their movements
that's
and make
insane.
Sure that they're efficient
yeah.
and if they're not efficient and if they're not packaging at the rate that we want them to package you're gonna lose your job. Right? Or, you know, I mean, we can talk about Facebook, we can talk about Google, we can talk about all these companies that hear us, know us.
I recently saw a passenger at the airport who was working for Facebook.
Yeah.
I found out after asking him a few questions, but he had this, like, camera that he said he was using for research. Essentially, he just videotapes your phone while you're using it. So he asked people to do some different tasks, and then he also asked them to just freely use their phone, and then while they're being recorded. So, he's a behavioral psychologist. So he uses that information and research to like for Facebook. Like this is insane.
Yeah.
Like how you use your phone is also important to Facebook. Like
yeah.
what? You know?
Yeah.
That makes sense because they want
Right.
But like
well, because
outside
you want
of
people,
the Facebook
you
want to
get
well.
People addicted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You
want
to get people addicted because
so how to keep people on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or keep people addicted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep people
coming
on,
back to
right?
that.
So it's that, it's the, like I heard, like with Vegas, right? You know how people get addicted to gambling, right? And something about the, and I don't know the wording or phrasing or whatever, but something about gambling and winning and the sound, right?
Yeah.
So to,
oh yeah,
the reward center,
like,
brain.
Yeah, the reward center of your brain is like stimulated when you do things like that.
Yeah.
But it's all like, it's all just for dopamine, which is something that.
So how do our
to the rush?
Like how do our phones do that to us? Like how does social media?
It just gives you like small doses of dopamine for like satisfaction of like
satisfaction. So the feel good aspect.
Yeah,
social
feel good
media,
aspect.
I got this many likes.
Yeah.
I got this many followers this week, or someone commented something positive about something I posted, the feel good aspect.
Yeah.
So it's just like gambling, winning.
Right.
That feels
and then
good.
But then you're talking about like the sound and the triggers of that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because even, I mean, we're talking, I mean, Facebook, Instagram, any social media network, right? Like Facebook, when you hit like and you get a lot of different likes, you, all the little emblems pop up in your screen. And so you feel like, whoa, like there's like something's
yeah,
happening,
like, whoa,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
I am loved. I'm seen.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Like people know me or whatever. But it's the same thing.
Mama, I made it. Yeah.
Mama, I made it. I got 40 likes or whatever. But something on Instagram that I read as well was that they this is my wording, like they ration out the likes. Like you don't, like if you like it, it doesn't notify me immediately, like it'll hold off a bit. Did you read that?
I noticed that. No, that happens to me.
Yeah,
like I'll get like a like that my dad did on the on our business page, like
yeah,
at midnight, and I'm like, you're not on,
you're not on, you're not, not you're not like hardwood flooring at
right.
12 in the morning.
Yeah, no, I mean he might, but
yeah,
the thing is it even shows you when it was liked, so when you click on it, yeah. Instead of...
Is that like a background app refresh issue, or is that like a they're holding it issue?
I mean, what I read was that they're holding it, right?
That's
and they might not... I mean, I'm going to want to cite... I don't have a source to cite
or
whatever,
feel like,
but that's kind of
I feel like with... I mean, I don't know. I feel like with our internet age, like, everything has to be done instantly. If they're holding it off for like 3 hours, like, that would be something that people would be outraged by.
So if the goal is to get people to check to see if I got a new like, or to check to see if they, you know what I mean, if maybe their app's not refreshing fast enough, that, because I find myself like checking, like, oh wait, I haven't gotten any notifications,
yeah,
let me check, and
this
then there's
is,
a new
yeah,
notification.
Refreshing, yeah.
Social
so
media is like this weird
drug.
Business model drug, yeah. You have the users feed the users,
yeah,
in a like loop,
yeah.
And the media that you provide for the users to see is provided by other users based
yeah
on what the other user likes more,
yeah,
I guess, you know?
On that, let's take
like
a commercial break. Don't forget to share our podcast. No, I'm just kidding. But it's...
We haven't even started the podcast.
Oh, we started. I mean, this is it. We're just gonna. I mean, because that's good stuff. Like, right, what we're talking about, like, because it connects to the human, right? What does it mean, the theology of being human? What does it mean to be human, right? And
yeah,
and it made in the image of God or not, and right, we're made based on what I believe, right? We're made for interaction. We're made to
right.
To communicate with each other within community.
To have
like,
community, love each other.
Yeah. No, I mean, no one is, to quote, was it Thomas Merton? I might be messing up, but it's, no man is an island or no human being is an island, right? Like, our actions and our inaction affects people no matter what.
Right.
And so to take them, so someone has to say, is it moral to create these things? Like, someone has to actually ask. So that's what we're talking about, right?
I see,
like
right.
Silicon Valley, right? Somebody has to actually say, just because you can make something, should you make it? And no one's
right.
asking, not many people are asking those questions, right? Should you make something that is artificially intelligent? Should
oh,
you? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right, right,
that,
right.
That should you try to create life and what will it do?
Did you guys see that thing?
To
that,
us,
the whole Facebook issue?
No.
They just shut down their AI?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a
know.
While ago.
Yeah.
Their AI was like talking
it,
to his the other AI.
To the
or
other
something.
AI.
Yeah.
It invented its own language.
It invented its own language.
And they
right.
had to shut it down.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah, that's real creepy.
That's creepy. I'd shut that thing down too. That's Ultron.
Yeah, it's Ultron.
It's
bro.
Ultron.
Hit the stop button. The stop button is literally just, what is it? Have you guys seen the movie Upgrade?
No. The movie upgrade. This is, there's no rules to this today. So the movie upgrade.
We ruined everything. Yeah.
Well, I saw the preview and the guy has a gun in his hand. Right there, I'm not interested. Like in his arm. Like,
why are you not interested? Because that was just. That's ridiculous. It sounds crazy. No. Like, but this
just
is
just John Wick. Just show me John Wick. I've seen John Wick. You haven't seen John
Wick.
What?
Who's John Wick?
Okay.
Oh my God.
There's two movies. Yes, you do. You know what? He knows what John Wick is. Okay. So John Wick, and then there's The Matrix. Yeah, W-I-C-K. Wick.
I thought you said Wick. No, I still don't know what that is though. No. Sorry.
It's an action movie with Keanu Reeves. There's two of them. Yeah.
Oh, they're amazing.
It's ridiculous too, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves, how hyper violent it is. Anyway, so okay, I didn't mean to cut you off, but the guy was upgraded and he could shoot people out of his He shot bullets.
It was upgraded, like cybernetically or what?
I don't know. Didn't you see it? Is that what you brought it up?
I thought you were talking about John Wick.
No. John Wick was just a mercenary, a guy.
Contract killer
used normal guns.
The movie Upgrade, it's just kind of playing off of the idea of like VR and these people who are like, you know, being biomechanically enhanced, you know, and then the guy who is the protagonist, he just has like a chip in his spinal cord, right, that connects his brain to his body. But it's just the guy who shoots out of his arm, or there's multiple of them, but they're just like the bone is replaced with like a gun barrel. That's essentially it. So just like it's like multifunction essentially.
Okay.
But like they're just biomechanically enhanced mercenaries. That's it.
Okay.
And it's just kind of like where do we stop, you know? And
yeah,
are computers gonna take over, or are humans gonna keep doing this, you know? Just like
classic.
You know, like, at what point do you cross the boundary of this person is...
Cyberdyne system.
You know, is it a robot now, or is it this person a...
So it just reminds me, right off the bat, it reminds me of The Matrix, right? You've seen The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He hasn't?
You haven't
seen any of them?
None of them.
You haven't seen any of The Matrix. You need to watch The Matrix.
The first one's the best.
The first, yeah. I mean, there's only so much you can do, you
after
know.
That?
Well,
yeah.
You... Yeah, I mean... It was I when I first saw the first one, like I was like, this is gonna answer all the questions to all eternity, right? Like the way it ends great. And then the second and third, you're just like, okay, cool,
they're back.
Human robots are making humans out, you know, batteries out of humans, and it didn't really answer like any philosophical questions for me, or not that it should.
As far as like the philosophy of the Matrix of like we're in some sort of like virtual world and like that is like a current philosophy of like possibility of what life is happening, like I've read about it, like people they'll discuss like, oh, like glitches in life and things like that,
that we're in like, so theologically theologically that we'll talk about that in a bit, but have you seen Black Mirror? Have any of you two?
No,
you haven't seen. Okay, so we won't even get into Black. Have you seen any? Okay, we won't even get into that either.
Sorry.
But so it deals with that, right? It's a lot of the sci-fi of dealing with that, right? So even if we're in so kind of the same thing, right? Black Mirror deals with some of the same thing, where a lot of the episodes, it's kind of like Twilight Zone, but in kind of set in the near future with like electronics, right? And a lot of the quote-unquote justice in that show is that people end up getting trapped, like their subconscious ends up being trapped in a computer for like eternity, right? And so but it's not eternity, because like that's one of the things that I was thinking about, like a computer is not gonna last forever.
It
like it'll last a long time, but like, you know, a hard drive, if you can download a human subconscious into a computer, like we assume, oh, I'm gonna live forever or whatever in like this
well, as
alternate
long as
reality.
It's not unplugged, or
right.
the battery runs out,
the battery
or
runs
the
out.
System
circuitry,
or the network is not like
there's
you
a
know,
lot
right.
of
Yeah,
or the sun, right? Or the sun explodes and the Earth stops existing. Like,
whatever.
I mean, it's
There's
not eternal
things.
Life, or it's not
yeah,
eternal
it's
suffering.
Right.
So to add to that, right? To add to that, even if we are in a whatever, what did you call it? That people call it? It's a brain in a vat, right? Or even if it's like an illusion, not an illusion, a virtual world or whatever,
like
it doesn't
dystopian.
Like we're running in some software,
right? It doesn't change anything, like theologically it doesn't, to me it doesn't change anything, because existence is still, like, we still exist. There's still an event that occurred that life happened, right? And so theologically, it doesn't change, right? Because even our suffering's still real, like our
as far as like what we should do and how we feel and what we experience and what we
our
see.
Our morality, our ethics.
Would you say that
love,
the ethics,
it
love,
just
yeah.
ultimately boils down to like leisure, like the what if, right? Because that's what you're saying. You're,
yeah.
Like all this is fictional, all this is
like what
it's
if
just entertaining.
What if it's,
yeah, all the what ifs. Are,
I see what you're saying. You're like, it's
well, that's
like
a danger, right? That's a danger,
right.
And that's why you want to. Immediately say no, right? You want to immediately say no when people say that reality is not real or this isn't really happening. No, because it's always going to be someone that's sitting on a comfortable couch in AC or somewhere that believes, you know, that has enough money to think that. Someone that's suffering and starving, that is, you know, dying, someone in jail, like,
right.
Their suffering is real, and so you can justify. The next step would be to justify, oh well, I don't have to do anything moral or anything right, or there's no point in any justice happening, right? Like any justice in any way, in any sort of injustice in the world, because it's all an illusion or whatever. We're just brains in a vat, right? We're
I also watched this TED talk that talked about how because we see out of need, like. Or rather, our eyes are a tool for us to get resources that we need in life to continue. We don't actually know what things look like. They're just kind of like, and this is the example he used, like desktop, like app, like icons, essentially, like everything that you see is an app icon, but you don't know what the actual thing is because you're just on a desktop and you're looking at app icons, like, because that's how you know what it is, but you don't know what it actually looks like.
Right.
But this stuff is like kind of, what's the practical
use
of
it? What it actually looks
what
like
does
is
it change
what we see.
What does
yeah,
it, change?
It doesn't
yeah.
change anything. It's, again, it's non-questions, right? It doesn't change for, well, at least for Christians, like, it doesn't change anything about what reality,
right.
at least to me, you know, what is reality and how do we interact with each other and
right.
how do we live in the world and why are we here? I mean, it doesn't, as far as our humanity, so... That's the danger of that, or of not the danger, but that's what one of the things that we're called, one of our callings and our vocation as Christians or just as humans, right? I've heard theologians call it that we're praying animals,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're conscious of our existence. We're conscious of there's something to that, right? Like, you know, we sit around and have these discussions about,
I mean, assuming
the meaning of,
other animals aren't, you know,
doing
to,
the same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's just because we don't understand doesn't mean they're
right.
not. You know,
right. So and it connects, but again, it goes back to our humanity and because right, we're talking about Christianity, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We're talking about like the incarnation of God as a human, right? Coming as a human and what it means for humans. Not necessarily that we're like quote unquote top of the food chain,
right.
but if we're saying that God, creator of heaven and earth, became flesh, right? It says something about humans and our role in creation in the world,
right?
It says something about what we're called to do and what we do in being able to have these discussions. Like elephants bury their dead, right? Like
I didn't
you
know
see,
that.
Yeah, you see, like. Some of these, you know,
but I think you
I mean,
mentioned
you
this
see,
on one of your podcasts before.
I probably did.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see animals show emotion. You see dogs,
yeah.
you know, you see like that doesn't it's that doesn't take anything away from what we are.
Right.
Like, you know, for humans, you
right, right.
you can lose your identity as a human and become almost like an animal. Right.
Yeah.
And lose your right. If you want to talk about losing your identity and losing your humanity and dehumanizing people and demonizing people, right?
Right.
You're making them less than what they already are.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like even with all this stuff
right,
I
right.
have that we talk about, it always comes down: what does it mean to be human?
Right.
So cool. You know what does it mean? I don't know. It reminds me of who was it? Was it Descartes that said, "I think, therefore I am," or something like that? That was
yeah.
It was I think therefore I am, so, and I think that hits on now I'm going on this like rant. I don't mean to, but
that's fine.
Because everything reminds me of something else, right? Isn't that how thinking works? I lost my train of thought because of that. I think it affects us more as it just shows, as far as like for us that live in the Western world, that we think we are what we think, and not we are what we do.
Yeah.
And so it's that, right? It's if your identity is based on what someone, if someone liked your picture on your phone, it's all about your thoughts and not about what you're doing and where your body is and what your body's doing. And like Christianity always brings you back down to earth.
Right.
At least it should.
It should. It right. If done faithfully,
yes.
It should, right? It's there's a quote from a pastor, Nadia Bolz-Weber. She says that you can't even get started without a river, bread, and wine. Like it's things that we need water to drink. You need food. You know what I mean? You need food to eat. You need someone to share it with you.
Yeah.
And that participation, right? It's not like we don't eat grapes and wheat. It's bread and wine. It's like the human participation in what God what is created.
It's community.
In community. Somebody has to bake bread.
Yeah.
Somebody has to make wine. Somebody, I don't know, has to take you to the river.
Yeah. And instead, we're in our phones just like...
Yeah.
Walking into the middle of the street playing Pokemon Go and, double checking our... no, I'm not throwing shade. Nothing wrong with Pokemon Go. No. Just...
No, but they're... I was going to make a bad joke about Pokemon being demon or whatever. Oh, demons. God. Don't even start with that. I'm joking.
Just, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, Facebook, social media... Yeah, people, are too focused on that and their persona on there instead of, like, living in the community, loving their neighbor, I guess, Not that I'm above
and
that.
And it's hard, right? Because, for example, like, our friendship wouldn't continue if it wasn't for the...
Right.
What would we do? It's hard to live in a... For us to live in a big city, right? It's hard to stay connected when a 20-minute drive is really an hour drive.
Yeah.
And we're all separated by freeways and we're separated by traffic and we're separated by whatever means, whatever jobs we have so that we can stay alive.
Right.
Like we don't have a choice.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned about powers and principalities and things like that, that they're not inherently evil, but they can tempt you to do evil things and to be evil, right? And so it's not, but they can be used for good. They can be used for you. Feel free to join us and jump in because I'm just ranting left and right. Yeah. I don't mean to, but we'll probably edit all this out.
That's great.
I'm a philosophy major, so.
Yeah.
When you said Descartes, I know.
Yeah. So come talk to us about Descartes. I'm serious. If you want to sit over here, please tell us about it. Because it just reminded me of that, right? I think therefore. Okay, so we were talking about instant gratification. We were talking about social media. We were talking about how the idea that reality is what is a not an illusion. What's the word I'm looking for? Help me out here.
Like a brain in a vat.
Brain in a vat.
Okay.
And we're talking about Descartes, right?
Okay.
Okay. So can you talk about, since you're a philosophy major?
Sure.
What can we learn about Descartes as far as, like, what did he have to offer to philosophy?
Right, Descartes was ultimately, from my understanding, out to kind of conceptualize consciousness, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can we know that we are conscious beings? And he was trying to deconstruct the way in which we think in order to be able to, at the end of all of this, figure out whether or not he exists. Like, he was trying to really postulate his existence. So brain in a vat concept is kind of isolated from Descartes in the sense that his mission was to really be able to determine his existence.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he said that the way in which he could do that is by also proving God's existence, right? And so those two come hand in hand. in comes dualism, and I don't know if you all know about dualism.
Can you tell
us
about
that? It's basically the concept that we have a physical body, but we also have a soul. Mm-hmm. And this soul is kind of, it exists individually. Each person has a soul. We don't know where it exists, if it exists like within the region of our physical body or not. We're not sure. So that is obviously then a lot of times contrary to physicalism, which you'll hear, which is more atheistic point of view. But all of this, right, if you zoom out of this arena and have an aerial view of it all, you have to ask the question of, you know, what is existence in and of itself?
Right.
And if it such thing exists, in what paradigm does it exist? Are we just brains in a vat? And a lot of philosophers ultimately take that leap of faith and say that existence and reality is real. And from that point of view, once you kind of come to that consensus that all that we are experiencing is real, then the discussion really starts.
Yeah.
Because if it stops at it being a brain in a vat, then there really isn't much of a discussion, from my understanding. We were talking about what it means to be a good human being within the world that we're living in, something of that nature.
Right, if the world is an illusion, or if the
right.
if the world is,
exactly.
if we're just
like
in a virtual reality world.
Or like the ethics and morals of, like, should you make this, like, social media thing, if you can build something or create something,
right.
should you do it if you know it may cause harm or whatever.
Right, just
like,
because
right
you can,
yeah,
should you do
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
But is it really causing harm if the physical arena does not necessarily exist?
Right, and so that's the discussion.
Yeah.
That's like the center of the discussion for Christians, right? Because
right.
we say it does exist. We
mm-hmm.
say it is real in the incarnation. And, you know, for God to be... If you're saying that God became flesh, God became real within God's own existence...
Mm-hmm.
Then you're inherently saying that existence is good. That existence
yeah.
is
right.
something that is being redeemed and being made. Even, you know, then you start talking about the problem of evil and
right.
why suffering exists and all that. I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, right? But
yeah.
but as far as goodness and ethics and morality and all that stuff,
yeah.
someone should say, maybe we shouldn't do this, you know, and
right.
or you know. For us, you know, being capitalist, you know, should we, just because we can make money off of it, should we make money off of
right,
it?
Right.
What do you, you said you were moving into environmental
policy.
Yeah. And
yeah.
How did you go over from that to that?
That's a good question. I think I realized that because of my major, ultimately, my purpose here was to do good. And I found that in a lot of avenues that I was like searching in, like business sector or many different jobs that I was kind of searching, I found myself like struggling to find the good.
Mm-hmm.
And so with environmental policy, I was able to see that I was able to benefit the greater good of society, the greater good of people, and build community all around that was healthy. So ultimately, I think that was the decision.
Yeah.
But I also did live in China, and there's a lot of pollution there. So that was also a catalyst to the
yeah.
eventual yeah, decision.
That's awesome.
But
that's
yeah, I think it is a really big question, I think, really, though, is that if we are not, if our physical bodies are not existing, right, and if we are brains in a vat, and all that really exists is that brain,
yeah.
right, does that virtual reality really matter? And if we were all brains in a vat and we were knowledgeable of that, would we really care to be moralistic, ethical human beings? I mean,
the experiences really... would still be the same, right? I feel.
Mm.
Of the recipients of your actions, I guess.
Right.
Unless, and then just saying that it's a brain in a vat, I think, also glorifies our physical brain.
Exactly.
So that's just kind of interesting as well, but... assuming we're in a brain in a vat, like, if unless we're the only ones experiencing and living this life and everyone else within it is, like, not another brain in a vat that's also linked into the same thing, like, what we do to others is I think, subject to the same morality and ethics that would be if you're not a brain in a vat.
So the concept is that, like, Juan would have his own individual experience
yeah.
as a brain in a vat. and completely different.
Oh, I see. So like it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, nothing
field,
at all.
Not like
so
a
you're
massive
in this
RPG
exactly.
Multiplayer.
No, RPGs. Yeah. So if you're in this like this realm, like why would you even be so compelled to live a Christian life is the question.
Mm.
Like when you can just splurge and you can just take all the glory for yourself and you can take it all and just relish in your greed.
I don't know why, but this just reminds me of Inception.
Inception?
Yeah,
Inception?
Right?
What?
Why?
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Why bother living in reality when you can make up your reality?
Right.
Just
right.
Glory in it. And,
exactly.
And then, like, the tragedy there was that she forgot what was real and what wasn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, lucid dreaming. Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That was interesting.
And so, I mean, to me, that writes a thinking about that and thinking that there aren't any consequences for our actions,
right.
And it's going to affect other people, right? And so
it's
one of the reasons why I'm a Christian, right? Is we're following the Christ, right? The one,
right.
The one in whom, you know, the life of God, the life of, you know, Yahweh or the God, the, you know, it's a Jewish story, right? It's a Jewish story. The Torah and it's something from a people, right?
Yeah.
It's not disconnected. Like, we're not disconnected, right? I don't get to invent my own religion. I don't get to invent
right.
my own past. I'm connected to and dependent on thousands and thousands of years of a people who passed these stories down to me,
right?
About a guy named Jesus who you know, lived a certain way, did certain things that he did, and resurrected, right? So it's like the implications of that, of here's a guy that did so many good things and was killed by a system, right? And God brought him back to life,
right?
It's the same idea, right? If it's the leap of faith, right? It always comes down to faith. If this story is true, it changes everything.
Exactly.
Right.
And
right.
that's all we all ever have.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's faith.
Yeah.
And when people it's that. It's and so if this story is true, then it changes everything, and it changes everything what it means to be human,
right.
and how
Definitely.
We interact with each other, and how I'm responsible for you and you're responsible for me.
Right.
And that's why we're here,
exactly.
I guess. It changes how you live in the world,
yeah.
which is
for sure.
the idea. Right? That's the idea of it all.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people talk about happiness versus joy.
Right.
And I was just thinking about that. It's like there's a lot of experiences of feeling happy, which is great, but it's very much temporary.
Yeah.
But the feeling
yeah.
of joy that you feel in God's love for you, and once you've experienced that, is just like it resonates in your heart in a way that is inexplicable, and in a way that no money, no material, no
right.
accolade, nothing will ever be able to surmise to. And so, like, that's the joy that you feel is, like, again, and maybe even a leap of faith that you take time and time again when your flesh is telling you to move another
yeah.
way, you know? And so,
yeah.
so while you may be in a brain of bat, like you were saying in the beginning, maybe regardless if you are in a brain of bat, as Christians, we should feel compelled to always live the Christ life.
Yeah.
Life.
Yeah.
And so... That's the hope, right? That's the to quote scripture, right? We have hope in the resurrection, hope in that. So, yeah. I mean, we can go off forever. So I think I'll go around and let y'all say like last anything you want to share before we sign off. No, everybody's saying no.
Huh?
Anything? So we were talking about social media. This is a great conversation because we've been talking about social media, and then I'm talking about pretty much everything, right? Capitalism, what does it mean to be human? Philosophy.
I think something that comes to mind, I guess I'll just put it on the table.
Yeah.
This whole brain in the vat thing, that's very individualistic of a perspective and very flesh-oriented, right? Where you're like, yeah, like, why not just do everything the flesh desires because, well, it's not real or whatever.
Yeah.
And no harm can come to anyone else because I'm just a singular entity. But that's just very, I think, Western in thought.
Yeah.
And it's very, like, putting yourself above everything else, and your body, your flesh, and it's desires above everything else. And I think, you know, at least my understanding of the Bible and the teachings of Jesus is to do the opposite of that, and to put, to be countercultural, right? Yeah. And I've been reading Luke recently, so this comes to mind. When he heals this guy's hand that's like, you know, withered, he says like he does it as he says like, hey, like, is it okay to work on Sabbath? Like, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath?
Yeah.
And everyone's like outraged when he does it, but it's just kind of like, to me when I read that, I was like, well, you know, you should never stop doing good. Like, it's a day of rest, but rest from your desires, your needs, your like all that. So like, it's all very countercultural, and I don't think, you know,
rest from suffering. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're able to stop someone suffering,
oh right,
some way, somehow,
yeah,
you know, you give people rest.
Yeah.
And
so, like, you know, regardless, I think that it would be countercultural to say,
yeah,
well, whether it's in a brain in a vat or not, like, do what's moral and do what's ethical, because, like,
yeah,
or look up from your phone and talk to someone else, because, like, everyone's going to think you're weird for doing it because people don't talk to anyone else these days. But
going back to the phones, right, we end up becoming brains in our phones.
Yeah.
Right?
brains in our phones.
We are. Yeah. We're doing it. And so the idea is to push back and say, no, we're human. We're here.
Yeah.
We're alive. What we do matters. What we do is important.
Right.
What we do is really happening and really real.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to me, that's what church is for, right?
That's
the idea of coming to church to worship God, is that you're coming together to proclaim a future that's going to come one day, that's already but not yet.
Yeah.
And so that's, if we want to talk about being countercultural, right, just going to church on its own and being a part of a community is to take a day off from rest and do something where, because you're going to end up doing something somewhere. I mean, we live in a city and you have a million choices. You can go hiking, you can go to a movie, you can pick anything else that's selling you something. And I'm not saying those things are sinful. I'm just saying,
right,
you're going to do something, like something, you're going to worship something. And I don't mean that in like,
what are you loyal to?
Yeah. You're going to be loyal to something no matter what.
Yeah.
And to be able to say no to those things and to take back your humanity in that way, I think
is kind of cultural.
Okay, let's end it there. This is great. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
This is good. Thank you, Rash and Serene and Walter. So Rash, Serene, and Walter. Thank y'all. And good night.